Good morning. The hour of 8:30 having arrived, we will call the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order on January 31st, 2023. I'm going to start this morning's meeting in a little different way. I just want to say, oftentimes in life, we have an opportunity to work with people who make us better. And this morning, I'd like to honor my LA. It's his last meeting with us today. And I just want to say thank you. Okay, now I'll regroup and try to bring my composure back and get to the business of state government. With us, we do have a quorum present this morning, and we will start with the approval of the minutes. Representative Newton, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes? And
yes, Madam Chair, I move the minutes of January 26, 2023.
Is there any discussion on the minutes of January 26, 2023? With that, those in favor of adopting the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? With that, the minutes are approved, and we will adopt the minutes of January 26, 2023. Representative Hewitt, you have the first bill up this morning. Would you like to move that your bill be before the committee?
Madam Chair, I would.
Okay, so I move Representative Hewitt moves House File 227 to be recommended to be placed on the general register. Representative Hewitt, would you please present your bill?
Madam Chair, I have two amendments I'd like to move right away.
All right. Would you like to begin with the A2 amendment?
I would, Madam Chair. This amendment was given to me after I worked with the revisor's office. These were technical changes that they thought would be received well. So that would be the first amendment, pretty much technical changes.
All right. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The A2 is adopted. Please proceed, Representative Hewitt.
I have a second amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay, the A3 amendment?
Please
discuss the amendment, thank you.
This, Madam Chair, was brought to us with a concern by the counties and the Secretary of State's office. I have to thank the revisor's office for working through this so quick, but that's what this amendment is about, just to clean up the bill so it works for everybody.
Okay, is there any discussion to the A3 amendment? Seeing none, all of those in favor of the adoption of the A3, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The A3 is adopted. Representative Hewitt, please present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 227 has been around a while, I guess. I thought I was an original author on this, and it's so great to see so many people interested in this bill here today. The whole deal with this bill is basically it allows somebody outside of a, right now in Minnesota, you can either be a judge or you can be somebody in a religious organization such come from a seminary, or you can go online and get ordained by the Church of the Rising Star and become a marriage officiant. I think that was kind of foolish because I had to go through that to marry a nephew, and I really think that this cleans it up a little bit. It gives me the option of being a notary public. Also, many of you came to me and said, well, why don't we let past and present elected officials do it, so we had that engrossed in the bill on the last stop, and I think the bill is in a great place. I'm hoping that I get the support to move it forward.
Thank you very much, Representative Hewitt. Are there any individuals from the public who would like to testify on this bill? Members, discussion? Seeing no discussion. Would you like to renew your motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. Okay,
so, Representative Hewitt renews his motion to recommend House File 227 as amended to be placed on the general register. All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none. Representative Hewitt, the motion prevails and House File 227, as amended, is recommended to be placed on the General Register. Okay. Just to kind of set the stage for this next bill, we do have 10 people who wish to testify from the public, and we do have 10 amendments. So we will move through these as quickly as possible, but making sure that all voices in the room are heard. So with that, we'll ask that we move the amendments. We'll give each amendment 3 minutes each, and then 2 minutes for each testifier. That's kind of our plan for where we are. Representative Kosnick.
I'm sorry, did I hear you correctly? 3 minutes per amendment, is that what you?
That's correct. We have 10 amendments.
Well, Madam Chair, with due respect, this is a 300-page bill. Mm-hmm. We just got the engrossment, the most recent version of the engrossment, mm-hmm. actually today. It wasn't available while we were on the, until we got to the House floor last night. I'm not sure that the, you know, the committee time is where we vet the bills, learn about them, mm-hmm. maybe be persuaded by the author. It's not a good democratic process, and I object.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. And I'm just being told by Committee Administrator Rudolph that it was posted earlier yesterday afternoon online. With that, Representative Stevenson, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill, I'll be very brief, both because my sinuses are going crazy because of the cold weather and also to preserve time for discussion. This is the bill to legalize adult-use cannabis in Minnesota. Minnesotans are ready for this change. Our current laws are doing more harm than good. I look forward to a full and complete discussion on what is now the fifth of 14 committee stops.
Representative Stevenson, I just have to make two clarifications. The bill is posted after the committee report is adopted, and then we need to make a motion to get your bill before us. So since you are not a member of this committee, I will move that House File 11 be recommended to be re-referred to the Agriculture Committee. Oh, I'm sorry, House File 100 be re-referred to the Agriculture Committee. Okay. And then how would you wish to proceed? Do you want to present or do you want to go straight to the amendments?
I made a few comments, and I'm happy to go to amendments.
Perfect.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When you and I were discussing this last night, we did not talk about a time limit set for discussion around amendments. That's mm-hmm. news to me. Wish that would have been brought to my attention last night. Yeah. Because there are more than 9 amendments in the packet.
There are 10.
Well, there are more than that. We submitted more than that.
Okay.
And you and I had a conversation last night. And I guess my question, not all amendments that were submitted are actually in the packet. Is that correct? Was that an executive decision made somewhere?
It was my understanding all of the amendments were going to be placed in the packet, and they are all in the packet.
Okay, so then there are more than those that you articulated.
Perfect.
And I will echo what Representative Kosnick said, that limiting discussion around that is troubling. And as we speak right now, Madam Chair, mm-hmm. rules is going on. I'm a member of the Rules Committee. That is, I'm not able to be there because I'm here. But there is a prevailing thought within your caucus to go down the road of limiting debate and conversation and time available to the minority. And I find that troubling. And I believe, Madam Chair, I have the floor. I believe you do as well. Find that troubling. And if we are to begin limiting the voice of the minority, which is apparently the intent of that effort led by your leadership, we are left very few options. And the amendment process is one of those options. And out of respect to you, I and the author, I agreed that we would perhaps curtail our amendments. But I just want to put that on record that the conversation around the minority voice is one that should not be trifled with. and is not one that should be stifled. The voice of the minority, if you look at it, we represent roughly, we were both on redistricting, 42,000 and change voices.
585.
That. Mm-hmm. Those voices should be heard. Mm-hmm. We should not be in a great rush to rush. I will point out that the engrossment came to us later than normal, and from a procedural perspective, I would ask, if any of these amendments were adopted today, could it even actually be engrossed into the bill?
Would you like me to say?
That is, yep.
Thank you, Lead Nash. And you and I both have stated from the outset that you and I both believe in uplifting as many voices as possible, mm-hmm. right? And to that end, I always ask that we always bring forward amendments that we truly want to get forward and amendments that are truly within the jurisdiction of the committee that it is before. And I'm not judging your amendments today. I'm just saying that's what I have asked. I have asked for testimony to be to the jurisdiction of the committee so that we have time to discuss the work of this committee. Our revisor is working with antiquated equipment, which is something we can work together to fix. And they are human, and we have to understand that they can only do so much. In speaking with Representative Stevenson, the goal is to get this bill forward, to have an author's amendment at a later date, and then incorporate some of the very good ideas that you have brought forward. Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair and Representative Nash, if I could. I have no doubt that the reviser could engross this bill on time. Our nonpartisan staff here at the Capitol are excellent, and they will do whatever we ask them to do. Whether we should ask them to do that is a different question, and that's kind of what you and I were discussing last night on the floor. Mm-hmm. And my desire to sort of incorporate some of these amendments that I am willing to accept, but do it in a way that doesn't make anyone have to work above and beyond. And so I'm hopeful we can do that. You know, I think that some of these amendments, which I already indicated to you, I'm willing to take, probably will take far fewer than 3 minutes because I, you know, someone will explain them. I will say I'm happy to take that amendment in a future committee hearing along the way that you and I discussed, and then we can move on. So hopefully there's enough time to discuss all of the other amendments in that context.
And Madam Chair.
Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the author, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the conversation around that. But I bristle when we decide arbitrarily that we have to move faster. We are still quite early in the session, and you are moving at a breakneck speed. So it is not my responsibility to comply with that. I believe Madam Chair said that we should not confuse kindness with weakness early on. It is also similar that my statement would be we should not confuse being in the minority with being a doormat. And I intend to have a full-throated conversation, respectfully, but our options are asking questions and amendments. So to that effort, we are going to offer amendments, and I would encourage you to not, without talking about it, arbitrarily assign 3 minutes per each.
I will say to the public and to the committee members, be prepared for an evening discussion then. We will come back if we do not get through the amendments today. There are other things that we can do, and that's an offer. We can come back this evening.
Madam Chair, if I could.
I would like to get to the bill, please. Representative Koznick.
Well, Madam Chair, and with due respect, it's been kind of the standard set in this committee. There's very limited debate in any of these bills. Okay?
Representative.
I've watched the committee hearings on this bill and other committees. I believe you're on the Commerce Committee. The minority had limited time to answer questions just because of the complexity of the bill and the variety of sections of law that are encompassed in here and such. There was limited amount of time for the minority in that committee and other committees to fully vet the bill and not to pick it apart.
That's not true.
Look at the comments, Representative Stevenson. It's not, we're not trying to like totally pick it apart and say that there isn't some merit to this. I think in some cases there may be. The amendments offered, at least the ones that I've picked out, are to add to discussion and better understand the bill for us as legislators to make a good decision, for the author to make sure that it's vetted out to offer either agreement, and he's indicated some agreement. I don't know which ones they are. But in other committees, we haven't had the ability to discuss all these, to discuss the, well, I haven't even heard a walkthrough of the bill. And so we're just going to go with an opening statement, some public testimony, offer amendments, not even a walkthrough, the mechanics of the bill that I've seen in many of the committees that I've heard. And that's a bad way, a bad process to legislate. And so let's just get it out on the table here that I'm not happy, the public isn't happy or shouldn't be happy of the way that the process is flowing here. This is a consequential bill, mm-hmm. and we should have the ability to fully vet it. If we have to come back later tonight, so be it. That's okay. I'm here to do the work. My colleagues are here to do the work. And I wish you, Madam Chair, would respect that of the minority.
Representative Kosnick, I am always respectful of your voice, and I do not raise my voice at you. What I will say to you is, in our packets and as legislators, we have many tools available to us. We have the bill, which we are expected to read prior to committee. We have the excellent summary, which is prepared for us by House Research, which we are expected to read before we come to committee. And I would say to you, the sooner we can move forward, the sooner your voice can be heard in this committee, and the sooner we can get to the amendments. But I do respect the voice of the minority. I respect all voices. And to that, Representative Stevenson.
Yeah, I will correct the record that I think was barely misstated. This bill has received a full committee hearing in the Commerce Committee where we did nothing else. We heard all Republican amendments. I took actually two or three of the amendments that were offered, answered all of the questions. We've had additional committee hearings since then that have, in some cases, lasted an entire committee hearing. This is the fifth of 14 committee hearings. There were 12 committee hearings on basically the same bill last year. I cannot think of a bill that has more process. If Representative Kosnick had any questions about this bill, he certainly could have approached me on the floor, as many other members have done, or privately before the hearing. He has not done so. I want this to be a collaborative bill, and I think if you talk to anyone who's brought me an idea, Republican or Democrat, they will tell you that I've done that, but I'm not going to allow your record, Madam Chair, or mine to be misstated in this community or in this committee. This has been an open and transparent process. It will continue to be so. I will continue to listen to Republican ideas and Democratic ideas and take them both into consideration this bill. Still going to take the amendments that I talked to Representative Nash about. That doesn't change that. But we don't need to say that this is anything other than what it is, which has been a very open, thorough, and complete process. And I hope we can move to the amendments now.
Thank you very much. We have the A-17 amendment. Who is offering the A-17 amendment?
I am, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Joy, to your amendment.
Madam Chair, with this amendment, what it does is it gives city a referendum process. You know, being a former mayor, and I think some of us have all sat in different seats, it gives an option for the cities to be able to, you know, put a referendum forward and on this bill. And it's just that way, if the city wants to deal with it, we give local control to people for a reason. And I feel those elected officials do a great job managing their small areas, you know, more than we do. And when government when we come with bills and we don't allow them to have an option, I think it's wrong. So I offer this amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Joy. Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would request a roll call on that. But in addition to that, for those members, this was modeled after Statute 340A.416, local option elections. There is a statute in the state of Minnesota that allows for municipalities to have a referendum to, in the case of some, not have they create a dry city. And in speaking with the author, his concern is around enforcement, I believe, but this is actually stating that the enforcement won't be any different, but this would give cities a toolkit that will allow it so that they don't have to have stores operating inside of their cities. Enforcement is still enforcement, and if this passes, this will be the law of the state. But this gives a municipality an opportunity to say, we just don't want the stores operating in here. They're still tasked with enforcing the law, but this gives them a tool that says, we don't want them here. So I think that there are some conversations that have been going on with, I think, some of the stakeholders, League of Minnesota Cities, Greater Minnesota Cities, and so on. I know that there is a desire for local control, and once again, I will remind some of my colleagues on the other side who have always excoriated me on apparently my disinterest in local control that we are giving you an opportunity to put your money where your mouth is and vote in favor of local control.
Representative Stevenson.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Nash, Representative Joy. I would ask that members oppose this amendment. You know, one of the principal goals in the bill is to eliminate the illicit market for cannabis. Looking at the experience of other states, in states that have allowed an opt-out, allowed whole communities, whole counties to opt out of legal cannabis, it creates an avenue for the illicit market to continue and be successful. So I think that while there is a place for local input and local control, and Representative Nash is correct that there are conversations ongoing with stakeholders, including the League of Cities and the counties, and I do expect changes to the bill with regard to the ability of localities to have a voice in the process. This amendment would undermine one of the central purposes of the bill, which is to eliminate the illicit marketplace. And, you know, I think local control is a good tool in certain circumstances. And one of my favorite sayings is, to the man with a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. A different problem requires a different solution. In this case, local control is not, this type of local control is not a solution to the problem of getting rid of the illicit marketplace. So I would ask for a no vote on the A-17.
Thank you. A roll call has
Madam
been.
Madam Chair, just briefly.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I would point out that in our most recent history that the city of, I think it's Cokato, actually had created an opportunity for themselves to be a dry city. And that city made that decision, didn't create an illicit alcohol market inside the city. So I would urge members to think through that, and that when you cast a vote against this, you are making a statement on your perspective on local control. Thank you.
Thank you, and will the seeing no further discussion, the CLA will take the roll.
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Yes.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner is excused. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Yes.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Nope.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 7 nays.
With 5 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. We have the A-18. Who is offering the A-18?
Madam Chair, that's me.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick, to the A-18.
Members, what this amendment does is provides a little bit of stability to business owners and operators that are currently in similar businesses to have preference to get a license. They've invested time and money, effort and expertise into establishing a business either in hemp or the newer business that was passed this year, and so gives them preference to that. We want to know who's operating these businesses. Communities have some concerns of who will be operating these businesses for a variety of reasons, and they would prefer to have business owners that know what they're doing, and the community has some comfort and knowledge of who the operators and owners are of those businesses. So I hope, Representative Stevens, this is an amendment and a policy idea that was brought to me by a constituent, and I hope it's one that you would seriously consider.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Representative Stevenson.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Kosnick, I did consider it. I don't think it's a good idea. I'd ask members to vote no on the A-18 amendment. I'd note it's, in addition to being outside of the committee's jurisdiction, I don't think that we should have anything but a comprehensive and consistent regulatory regime as we establish a new marketplace. So I'd ask members for a no vote on the A-18.
Thank you very much. All those in favor?
Excuse me, Madam Chair, could I?
Please, Representative Kosnick.
I would request the roll call.
Okay.
And I think it's, you know, this is goes to the fact that, you know, we haven't really been explained how the some of the preference works that's included in the bill. But kind of to my reading is we're giving preference to people that are operating in the illicit market. We don't necessarily know who they necessarily are. They've had drug infractions in the past, and I understand the author's intent with that. I don't necessarily agree. What this amendment does, members, is to allow community members that have an established brick-and-mortar type business to continue to operate, and they've made an investment in the community, investment in their business, and they would like to participate if this goes legal. And so I think it's common sense. I'm disappointed that the author does not see any merit to it. You know, the way I read the bill is, you know, we're taking street drug dealers and making them legalize professional drug dealers now. And this rejection of this amendment is unfortunate.
I would urge
members to vote yes.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. I'd like to remind the committee members that this is outside of our jurisdiction. And with that, a roll call vote has been requested. Will the CLA please call the roll?
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner is excused. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Yes.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Yep.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 7 nays.
With 5 ayes and 7 nays, the motion, the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A-19. Who's presenting the A-19?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's fine.
Thank you, Representative Nadeau. Please proceed with your amendment.
I'm going to be really quick. Hopefully, Representative Stevenson, you can look at this one hard. This is a very simple amendment, and it just removes the labor peace agreement language from the bill. And I understand more about project labor agreements than I do peace labor agreements. So if I'm wrong, please point it out. I just don't see where there's dangers to the state specifically. That this labor peace agreement will prevent. I mean, from the outside, it's basically compelling employers in this new industry, which we want. We want small businesses to get into this industry and to build their business, and to basically compel them from the very beginning to say that they need to have an agreement with a labor organization, which I don't have a problem if they choose to do that. I think it's a bad idea to compel them at the beginning and force them to do that as a condition of entering into this business. I think it's difficult. I think it's hard. Starting a small business is hard to begin with. And adding this component to it, these are small business people. Primarily, the targeted community that you're looking for is those. I'm not gonna reiterate it. It's a target community that you're looking for. And the complexity in starting a business is difficult enough. I don't know if having a peace labor agreement is going to assist in helping them grow. I do know that it's going to compel them to give up certain rights that they would have as employers. And that being said, I really, I don't see that there's proprietary interest that the state has in this regard. And I would really like you to consider removing it. And possibly thinking about including it at a later time, or at least making sure that the businesses are massive and have the ability to withstand something like this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Doe. Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, I'm going to be brief because I think this amendment is wholly outside of this committee's jurisdiction. We had a long conversation about labor peace agreements in the Labor Committee, which is where the bill just came from. I do think the state has an interest in ensuring that workers' rights are protected to collectively organize, which is what this language does. If they choose to, it does not compel unionization. It just protects people's rights to collectively bargain. We do have similar provisions in other areas of law So I just ask members for a no vote on this amendment, and I'm happy to talk more about this with Representative Doe offline if he wants to, considering this is really not in the committee's jurisdiction.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No. No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Next, we will move on to the A20. Who's offering the A20?
Madam Chair, we'll hold off on the A20 and the 21 for right now. We can move on to the 22.
I've called the A20. Is there a reason why we're not going in this order?
We'll not offer that at this time.
Okay. The A21?
We will not offer that at this time.
The A22?
That would be my, Madam Chair.
Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would offer the A22 and would request a roll call.
A roll call having been requested, we will have a roll call.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This would create a distance preclusion to have a store located within certain proximity of a park, playground, athletic field, or other attraction regularly used by minors. And if I remember in our conversation last night, the author is willing to take this as an amendment. So.
Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash is correct that I'm willing to take this language. I would ask that he withdraw it today under my promise that I will include it in the next author's amendment. That this is to spare nonpartisan staff having to get an engrossment prepared very quickly. We can get this in the next author's amendment. I told you that last night. We shook hands. I'll tell you in front of the whole world, I will include it in the next author's amendment. And if I don't, on the floor, you can tell everyone my pants are on fire. That I'm a liar, but I'll take it. But I would ask that you withdraw the amendment today.
And I, in speaking with you last night, Rep. Lead Nash, I've also said to you that I support this amendment. But it's up to you.
Well, Madam Chair, in an effort to show that I can be reasonable, there have been those occasions. I will withdraw my roll call, and we can just. Well, I guess I would ask nonpartisan staff a question if I could.
Please, Lead Nash.
Whomever has jurisdiction on this one, what are the mechanics of doing it now versus doing it at another committee stop?
Nonpartisan staff, Mr. Gehring.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, so any amendment that's adopted today will have to be engrossed in a new engrossment of the bill. So regardless of how long it is, it will require an engrossment to be processed.
All right, Madam Chair, I will withdraw the amendment, knowing that that's going to be accepted at a later date. And if that were to not be the case, and the chair, the author has never given me reason to not do that before, but I will guarantee a long and powerful soliloquy on the floor if that were to be the case. So I will withdraw the A22.
And I will deserve it.
Thank you, Lead Nash, and I think the public has heard that this is an amendment we all agree on, and it shall be included at a later time. Next, Madam Chair. Representative Kosnick.
May I suggest that the next committee stop be notified that this amendment has been put on if they're not paying attention? They probably will be, but, it was kind of characterized. I was not calling out staff, but simply the process. I know that it's very difficult with this bill, and so it was not my intention, and nor do I think I did, but if I do recognize the amount of work that it takes on a bill such as this to make the engrossment and then subsequent amendments. And that was my frustration, because we're on the House floor yesterday. We have committee meetings all throughout the day to match our amendments with the most current engrossment and then come off the House floor and prepare adequately and understand what the changes are. That takes a lot of time, and took slight offense at the indication that I haven't read the bill or read the bill summary, which in fact is not true, and spent a lot of time over the weekend and here to do the work, and any characterization to the contrary is simply out of order in my opinion. So Representative Nash, I think your amendment is a good one, and I appreciate that you're willing to trust the guy with pants.
That we hope not to be on fire. All right. Next, we'll move to the A23.
Who is bringing forward the A23 amendment?
Madam Chair, I will move the A23 amendment. And
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, as discussion on this bill has progressed, one of the main sticking points for many in my community and throughout the state are employers and their ability to make sure that their employees are not under the influence as they're either operating, and we've heard testimony with a variety of different interest groups and other committees, probably will be here today, I hope. I haven't seen the witness list or testifier list. But absent being able to test, and there's language in the bill that provides employees some protection. We can't, what this bill does is provides the employer immunity for the actions of their employee if they do in fact operate in their business under the influence, and it protects the employer from liability. So I would, that's a big issue that I've heard in the business community in my district and throughout the state. And so I think this would, you know, if we can't test the employees, we should not hold the assets of the business and the business owners and the other workers in a particular place of work liable for a bad choice that an employee may do.
Thank you, Representative.
I would like a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kosnick. I ask for a no vote, excuse me, on A23. I'll note at the outset that this is the third amendment that is being offered that is pretty clearly and entirely outside of this committee's jurisdiction. And I think I mentioned that, and I'll continue to mention it when those amendments are offered, mostly to point out that you're really giving the minority the opportunity to raise whatever issues they want, which mm-hmm. I think directly contradicts some of the assertions that were made about your leadership earlier today. This amendment, first of all, there's established law about vicarious liability and employer liability that is not changed by this bill. There's ongoing conversations about the nature of the employee employer relationship, and I don't think that this amendment is should be adopted at this time. I don't think it's actually necessary legally, and I also think that I'd like to see those conversations continue before we make changes to that section of the bill. So I'd ask members to vote no.
Thank you, and I will remind the committee this is outside of our jurisdiction. And with that, a roll call has
been. Madam Speaker. Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you. As the author of the amendment, I appreciate a little bit of discussion on this, and I would tell the committee, I would tell the author, I would tell the public, discussing the bill should be germane. We may have jurisdiction in certain areas of the bill and not of others, but the state is the largest employer, or one of the largest employer of the state, if not the largest. I think employment issues are important, and if that's part of the reason why I bring it up. But even if it's not, I appreciate the leeway of the committee, but I think it's appropriate. And so for the author to not want to discuss or to demean any of the amendments or discussion that we're having may go to my previous point that I don't know what the hurry is, Representative Stevens.
Representative
Stevenson,
Kosnick.
I'm sorry. Stevenson.
Representative Kosnick, all comments come to the chair, please.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't know what the hurry is. We're here to discuss the bill. There's an attitude that you're just going to ram bills through, and that's not good process. That is my point. I appreciate that we're having this discussion on this bill in this amendment, even if the author doesn't seem to want to have discussion, I guess. But
Representative Kosnick, I would just like to say to you, we are trying to work in good faith. Representative,
well, then just, Madam Chair, then just take the amendment or listen to the amendment, vote it down, have discussion, but
what I'm trying to do. That's exactly what I'm trying
to
do.
Well, no, but the comments that the amendments are out of jurisdiction or they're not appropriate, they are relative to the bill, and the public wants us to vet the bill, and that's what we're trying to do. And
thank
so I appreciate hearing the amendment and ask for a roll call.
I would like to state that in line 1.9, you stated that this has to do with the state of Minnesota being the largest employer. The state of Minnesota is exempted. This does not apply to them. With that,
that's my point.
Please take the roll call.
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner, excused. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 7 nays.
With 5 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A23 is not adopted. Next, we have the A24.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be offering the A24 amendment, and within the bill contains a license.
Representative Kosnick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Within the bill, there contains the opportunity to have a license for a cannabis event. I will guess to what that might be. Have not attended one myself. But there is concern that you could have a cannabis event in a community that doesn't want one. In this committee, our local communities should have the ability to turn down a cannabis event, a public event, a big party, it sounds like. And with those types of events, I can envision that there would be public safety cost, traffic concerns perhaps, a lot of other unintended consequences, and without more discussion, I guess, what this does is allow a local community to deny having one of those events without providing any particular cause. If they just feel like not having an event, that would be their choice, to give the local communities the opportunity to say, we don't want this in our city or our town. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
I'd like a roll call, too, please.
A roll call has been requested. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I ask members to vote no on the A24 amendment. We certainly, as I have mentioned, are trying to have discussions with local governments about increasing their role in the bill. I think that this amendment is not workable or not appropriate for two reasons. One, on line 1.4, it says denial may be made without explanation. And then on line 1.5, it says that the applicant would not have the right to appeal a decision. I think there's something of a rich irony here in Representative Kosnick having an amendment that says that you don't even have to explain why you're making a decision, while at the same time talking a lot about how we need to have a full dialogue and voices heard and everything that we've heard today. I think that people at least deserve an answer as to why they're being denied a license. I mean, we can have a disagreement about whether local governments should be allowed to approve or deny these things, but they should at least give a reason why. So I would ask for a no vote on the A24.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If the author wants to add a friendly amendment to make it more to his liking, to have an appeal be stated for public safety purposes or whatever the local jurisdiction may want, that might be a fine idea. With respect to the staff's work, to the shortness of time, we didn't have a lot of time to iron out the full mechanisms and wordings of each of these amendments. So if the author has a suggestion on how to improve the amendment, that would be worth discussion. Then we'll just leave it at that. I think our local jurisdiction should have the ability to determine whether these types of events are in there. And then, to my kind of opening comments, it'd be nice to have a discussion of the bill and how it works and even what the details would be of a cannabis event. So members, roll call, and I would ask for a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. And Representative Stevenson, I've heard you say you'll continue to work on these amendments as they go forward. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair. Briefly.
Lead now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. To the author of the underlying bill, this will be an amendment that we bring up again, and I would point out that an oral amendment or an author's amendment to the amendment could be made here in committee to allow for explanation of denial and for the ability to appeal that decision if Representative Kosnick were to so offer that. I'm sure that staff could walk us through how to change Representative Kosnick's amendment orally to effectively say that denial could be made and explained, and that the person who is being denied could have the right of appeal. If we were to go down that road, I'd be sure Mr. Guerin could walk us through how to do that.
Representative Stevenson, would you entertain an oral amendment?
Well, I would say that's a pretty significant oral amendment, but
we do.
I would rather work on this going forward. As I mentioned, we're having ongoing conversations with the league and other stakeholders about the role that local governments have, and I'd rather address it in that process rather than on the fly do a really substantial amendment. So I would oppose this even if we oral amended it today.
And Madam Chair, I'll just point out again that local control is a very important thing, and it is being shut down on this. I'm sure that the chair is talking to the League of Minnesota Cities, counties and townships and others, but I just have to go on record as saying that at what point do we allow our cities to run their cities? And you know, I know that many of you were in the fight against what you accused us when we were in the majority of having an evil preemption bill. Well, folks, don't look now, but here's a preemption bill that might actually be a little thicker than the one that we had previously. Marijuana, cannabis, adult use cannabis is a hot button issue for some, and for those who might be further away from the metro area, it may be something that their constituents are vehemently opposed to, and as we've tried with one amendment and we'll try with some others, we're trying to give those local units of government a voice. So I just find this troubling, and I appreciate Representative Kosnick's bringing of the amendment.
Madam Chair, I know that we probably do have representatives from the League of Minnesota Cities and other cities and locales to germane to this specific amendment that may be in the audience if they wanted to add on as we discuss whether or not to offer an oral amendment that I thought the author was willing to discuss and work on. This would be the opportune time here in committee with people present.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. I appreciate the suggestion. We are taking public testimony later. The author has already indicated they will not adopt the amendment. Please proceed with the roll call vote.
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau? Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
With 5 ayes and 7 nays, Representative Bonner is not here. Oh, sorry, Representative Bonner, I did not see you. Apologies. With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A24 is not adopted. We have the A25. Who is offering the A25?
Madam Chair, that is me again.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Please proceed.
Madam Chair, I move the A25 amendment, and maybe it'd be appropriate to help us understand what a cannabis event is entailed or what the author's intention is with putting that language into the bill. What the amendment does, from my understanding, in the bill, it has a 4-day duration, a 4-day event. And what this would do is limited to 12. I've never even, let's just leave it at that. But if the author could provide some context of what a cannabis event is, and the amendment is to change it from 4 days to 12 days. And I would request a roll call and urge members to support it.
Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Kosnick, I would oppose the A25 amendment. 4 days is a maximum, not a minimum. So if a community wants to, you know, work out an event that is less than 4 days, they certainly, or an event wants to do it less than that. We allow actually longer temporary liquor licenses. I happen to know this from the work we did on the liquor bill last year, longer even than 4 days. I think that to answer Representative Kosnick's question, and I'm, you know, there are understanding about what a cannabis event organizer and a cannabis event, there are things to that in the bill, but you can imagine places where cannabis products are sold consistent with applicable local and state regulations in a more temporary fashion.
Thank you, Representative Costin.
If we could get some clarification, Madam Chair, I appreciate it. So it's a four-day event where you can sell cannabis. Will cannabis consumption be entailed in this event, if the author would enlighten the committee?
Mr. Johnson, would you like to address this issue?
Madam Chair, Representative Kosnick, members, this is Ben Johnson from House Research. The bill as drafted contains the license for a local event. The local event can, with local approval, include a space for on-site consumption.
Thank you. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I, you know, can imagine a four-day kind of Woodstock somewhere in Minnesota. I think our local communities might have some concerns, and so therefore I offer the amendment to 12 hours to set up, take down, have a one-day event. I think is common sense, a little bit more reasonable, and I would urge members' support of this so that they don't have a four-day Woodstock necessarily in their communities.
All right. Would the CLA please take the
roll call, please?
You've requested a roll call. Mm-hmm. Will the CLA please take the roll?
Chair Cleaborn?
No.
Cleaborn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lead Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, this motion does not prevail. The A25 is not adopted. Next, we have the A26.
Madam Chair, I would move the A26.
Representative Kosnick, proceed.
Committee members, we've talked about the impact on local communities, towns, cities, counties. We just talked about these cannabis events, mini Woodstocks, whatever you might want to call them. That comes with an impact to the local jurisdictions in terms of public service, traffic, police and security, and a variety of other consequences that may arise, whether it's liquor, whether it's marijuana, whether it's just a simple concert. And so what this amendment does is allow that, a local jurisdiction to charge a license fee up to, but not necessarily whatever the local jurisdiction decides, up to a certain amount to help offset the additional public service cost to those localities. And so I would urge members to support this for their local cities and towns and would request a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Kosnick, you know, I don't recall this concern being raised about, you know, four-day Woodstocks when we expanded the amount of days that you can have a temporary liquor license for an event. Last year, the results of large-scale consumption of alcohol also creates the same, if not more, public safety concerns. I think it's disappointing and regrettable the way that Representative Kosnick is talking about this issue. I will say that local licensing fees are something that is that I'm working on with the League of City. I do expect that localities under the bill, when it reaches the floor, will have the ability to charge a license fee. Probably not the amount that's in this, at least not at the beginning. We want to make sure that this bill is accessible In other words, that people who want to enter the marketplace and start a new business don't have large capital requirement barriers that would prevent them from doing so. We want a lot of small businesses. $2,000 on top of all the other capital issues is a lot of money. So I don't think that this is the way to do it. We're working on a way to get some local licensing. We do want that and think that a fee would be appropriate. I would also note that in addition to, you know, perhaps some enforcement issues that cities will have under this bill, there's a whole slew of enforcement issues that they will no longer have when this bill passes, because cannabis writ large will no longer be illegal. And there's a lot, speaking as a prosecutor, there's a lot of criminal justice, a lot of local police department activity around the enforcement of our state's existing cannabis laws. So there's a net factor here that people should be thinking about, which is that while costs may go up for the city in some respects, they will go down in other significant respects. Having said that, I want to continue to work on this, but I would ask for a no vote today on the 826.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaking as a former mayor, we routinely would talk about in our yearly meetings around license fees and such. There is a fair amount of work that is done by the municipality to make sure that training and compliance and many of these other things are done, and that they're following local ordinances if there are ever any allowed on those. But it is something that is not a crazy idea to allow cities to cover the cost of the compliance work that they will do. And I would urge the author to either take the amendment or work diligently on this, because again, call your mayors. You've got a couple of them sitting here. There will be efforts and costs expended. And if you would like to push an unfunded mandate down on cities, then denying this amendment is the best possible way you can do that, because there will be costs borne by cities.
To the testifier, I understand you just said you're continuing to work on this and there would be some fees. Is that correct?
There will be, yes. I think it's safe to say that there will be. Yeah.
Thank you. And with that, please call the roll.
Madam Chair, as a...
Excuse me. I have asked for the roll to be called. Please call the roll.
Madam Chair, traditionally we have the Chair author Cleavorn. Of the amendment that would be able
no.
to close.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
And I'm not sure what the
Hewitt,
area
no.
is, Madam Chair.
Lead Nash.
We have liquor license fees.
Nash, aye. Represent Bonner.
So this is to the
no.
point of why we
Bonner,
started
no.
the committee
Represent Berg.
Discussions
no.
that we did. Because,
Berg, no.
Madam Chair, you're
Represent Freiburg.
You're stifling the,
Freiburg, no.
the voice of the minority.
Represent
that's ridiculous.
Hansen.
That, you know, the Hansen, public's watching
no.
you. You
Represent
should be
embarrassed. Harder. Aye. Harder, aye. Represent Her.
No.
Her, no. Represent Joy.
Aye.
Joy, aye. Represent Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau. Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
5 ayes and 8 nays. The motion does not prevail. The A26 is not adopted. Next, we have the A27.
Madam Chair, I'll offer the A27. Request a roll call.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Please proceed.
Madam Chair, for those that have been in the legislature for a little while, you'll remember that one of our members that was a House member and then went to the Senate, that body that we really largely don't care about, sorry, Senator Newton, was here as a legislator and then was also the head of security for a medical cannabis organization. I won't say the person's name because we don't necessarily have to do that, but this amendment would allow that a director shall not have been a member of the legislature or held a constitutional office in the last 4 years prior to the appointment of that job. It created a fairly significant hurdle for that that now former member, among other things that caused hurdles for that former member. I think that it is wholly appropriate that the people who are creating these enabling laws should be precluded from going out and doing a director or a CEO or a management role. Certainly, I'm not going to get too spun up if they're going to be a truck driver or delivery driver, but I think this is one of the amendments that the chair is going to profess his undying love for and will accept.
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure I go that far. This is what we talked about last night, and just for the record, what I'd say is the first part of this amendment, which has to do with the director of the agency, I don't have a problem with, and we can include that in the bill, as I mentioned in the author's amendment later on. As I said to you last night, I have some concerns about the second half of this amendment, which would preclude any member of the legislature from having any cannabis license until they've been gone for 4 years. And I think even to the situation that you just spoke to about people creating this law, this provision would last far beyond that. So if this whole regime were in place 10 years from now, and there was someone who served at that point, long after the bill was created, they would also be restricted by this, by what you're proposing here. I think what I told you last night, and I stand by it today, is I'll take the first half and talk to you about the second half, talk to you more about the second half of the amendment, and I'll stand by that.
And
I'd ask for a no vote today on the amendment.
Thank you. And when you talk about the first half, you're actually referring to lines 1.3 and 1.4.
That's right. Yeah. Well, 1.2 to 1.4.
Oh, yes. 1.2. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I just want to make sure we have that. We're all clear on that. And with that, a roll call has been requested. The CLA will take the roll.
Chair Cleavorne?
No.
Cleavorne, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, no. Aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
And with a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion is not adopted. The A27 is not adopted. Next, we have the A28 amendment. Who is bringing the A28?
Madam Chair, I would move the A28 amendment.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the committee and the author, it's unfortunate we didn't have fuller discussion on the previous amendment that I offered, and that's very unfortunate, Madam Chair.
Representative Kosnick, please proceed.
What I would say is that in comparison to liquor events or liquor fees, we do have liquor fees, and I don't understand what the hurry is to not discuss this bill in full, and the chair's prerogative to shut down debate. But what the A28 amendment is, talks about the hours of operation and limits them from 9 in the morning to 10 at night, if I remember my times right. But in looking at the amendment, I would suggest that we could be a little bit more flexible in delivery times in terms of retail operations. I understand that they may accept deliveries in different times, and that's not reflected in the amendment, so I recognize that. Talking with a potential licensee, a retail operator, and to local council people and mayors, there are concerns of the hours of operation that I think should be constricted from what's in the bill, or at least allowed in the bill. The locals have very little control over the operations of a cannabis shop in their districts or in their cities. And so what the bill does is provide a little bit more realistic operation hours that I think the surrounding neighbors to retail areas may appreciate. And I would suggest that the author might consider, or maybe we could discuss, didn't have this included in the amendment, but there was concerns about loitering outside of different establishments, and if that's in the bill, Representative Stevenson, please let me know. I didn't see that, but those are concerns, and so I offer the A28 amendment and would ask for a roll call.
Thank you. A roll call has been requested. And Representative Stevenson, you and Lead Nash and I have discussed this amendment. If you would just briefly summarize that conversation for the public, and then we can go on to the roll call.
Yep. So I indicated that I agree that we can that the bill sets a minimum number of hours that the city has to permit. That's probably broader than it needs to be. To be comparable to other industries such as liquor. So the first half of the amendment, I'm amenable to doing something. I don't know about exactly these hours. I wanted to do some looking at the liquor situation to have comparison, but probably something close to this is probably what I would agree to and anticipate putting the next author's amendment. The delivery piece, and I'm not sure, I think Representative Costner was saying he was not as focused on the second half of this amendment. And just he asked about loitering. I don't, and Mr. Johnson can correct me if I'm forgetting something. I don't recall anything about loitering in the bill, nor do I think that loitering is an issue that needs to be resolved in the statute. We have laws against that, and there's nothing precluding a city from adopting an ordinance about loitering because that's consistent with state law. So I just wanted to answer the question, but as to the amendment, I expect to do something on ours, but ask for a no vote today.
Thank you. And with that, the CLA will take the roll.
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau? Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A28 is not adopted. The A29, who's bringing forward the A29?
Madam Chair, I would move the A29.
Please proceed, Representative Kosnick.
Madam Chair, committee members and the public, there was a study done, a report of a panel of 16 leading medical experts convened by the National Academy of Medicine in 2017, analyzed the scientific literature on marijuana, and it concluded that cannabis is likely to increase the risk of developing schizophrenia and other psychosis. And what this amendment does, under the medical marijuana provision, there's a disclosure from that's required for an enrollee under the medical side of the bill. In the retail side, what this amendment does is provides a similar disclosure to customers of health consequences. And if I would argue, and what the bill amendment does is that if it's good enough for on the medical side, retail customers, recreational users, I believe should be made aware as well. So I would ask for a roll call and urge members to support the amendment.
Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kosnick, I asked for a no vote on the A29. The language, the information that this amendment is trying to make sure that people get is already required to be potentially on a warning label if it's determined necessary by the agency. This is covered in subdivision 6 of what section of the bill is this? Well, I'll just give you the page in line. It's page 107.27 to 108.2, and this is actually a result of an amendment that Representative New Brindley offered in the Commerce Committee, which I took and then modified by opposite amendment, which is worth noting because this is the fourth amendment that is wholly outside this committee's jurisdiction, but we did address the issue in the Commerce Committee in the full and complete discussion that we had in the Commerce Committee on the subject.
Thank you very much. Will the CLA please take the roll?
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lee Nash? Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
No.
Representative Nadeau, no. Representative Newton? Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 4 ayes and 9 nays.
4-9?
Yep.
With 4 ayes and 9 nays, the motion is not adopted. Next, we have the A30. Who's bringing forward the A30?
That would be me, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I offer the A30 amendment, and I do request the roll call vote.
A roll call has been requested.
Thank you. Representative Stevenson. This bill lacks a number of things, but the one I want to talk about is local control, which is very important to me. So as a former county commissioner, I found it very concerning frequently when legislative bodies or the agencies would pass laws or policies that counties have to manage. And generally, there is a price that comes to all those policies and rules which the local people of each county need to pay through their local levy. And so it's very hard to manage these items when there's lack of local control. The other thing that I do want to mention is that when these laws pass that a county has to manage without the resources following with, frequently if a resident has an issue, they will call their local official to get that resolved. And then the residents will have to pay their county levies to cover the cost of that. So my amendment really moves to having this as a referendum where the residents of the county will have a say into whether or not they want these facilities to be in their county. And this is unusual for me to say because usually I am about not spending as much local dollars. I try to save residents as much money as they possibly can. And so my amendment really allows to get that voice to the local people of the county, and I would ask for a yes on this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Harder, I will ask members to vote no on the A30, which is the same as the A17 amendment that was previously rejected, just to substitute in county instead of city. I have the same reasons for opposing this one as I had for opposing the A17, namely that it will undermine the effort to get rid of the illicit marketplace. I'd ask for a no on the A30.
All right. And Representative Joy, you wanted to say something?
Madam Chair, yeah, following up on Bobby's here, since
we refer to her as Representative.
Sorry, Representative Harder. Since mayors aren't, I guess, able to control this, on the county level makes sense to me, and I understand that transportation and moving across the counties, and you know, we let counties control so much in our area, which I think is a good thing, because you know, the further you get away from this area and you move towards the rural area, we understand, you know, we got sheriff's department, we got everything, we understand there's different needs in those areas, and I would encourage hopefully we can get a pass on this offer, because I think this is a good establishment. So
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. You as the mayor want to give county control?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I just think there should be some local control, and I think it's good. And you know, as a mayor, I never agreed with the county on everything, but I think this is better than having government control out of St. Paul for rural Minnesota and those areas.
Thank you, and we'll move to the roll call.
Chair Cleavorn?
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt?
No.
Hewitt, no. Lee Nash?
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. The 830 is not adopted. We have the 831. Who's bringing forward the 831?
That would be me, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Harder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I offer the A31 amendment. I will request a roll call vote,
roll
please.
Roll call has been requested.
Thank you. Representative Stevenson, now I'm going to go to the basic level of government, which is our townships. And I live in a township. And some townships have planning and zoning. If there's a problem within a township, they generally go to their township officials for resolution. And so when laws and bills are passed, once again, they come down to the local, you know, to the local unit of government, which could be counties or cities. In this point, I'm talking about townships. And I believe that in the township that they should have the ability to say what happens within their jurisdiction. And so my amendment today offers, once again, the ability for the township to offer a referendum so that the people who live in that township can have a say what happens within their township. And so I would request a yes vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment, the A31, is the same as the A30 and the A17. It's just townships instead of counties or cities. I'd ask for a no vote.
Madam Chair.
Lead Nash.
I don't believe a roll call was requested. We would request a roll call.
Roll call was requested.
My mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And Madam Chair, you know, I think this is a perfect storm that that Representative Kosnick's example of a four-day event could be held in a township. I don't know how many of you represent townships, but I think some of you may have property in townships, and township folks are very down-to-earth people, and they have strong opinions, and there's probably a good number of them that would like to say, yeah, not here. But we need to provide a way for them to do that rather than just jam this down their throat, which is kind of what's going on here. You know, I'm not sure if we have a Woodstock Township. Like, maybe we can check that. But
I believe a township has requested to become that. But please proceed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Madam Chair, I just again, I'm troubled by the lack of local control on this bill, and look forward to the outcome of this vote.
Thank you very much. And then will the CLA please take the vote?
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Hewitt, no. Lead Nash.
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. The 831 is not adopted. We have the 832.
Madam Chair, I would move the 832 amendment.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you. I have a letter, and I can make a copy and send it out to the committee, from a nurse at the University of Minnesota Medical Center, and just the synopsis is that the hospital, from seminars, has shown that brain damage in young adults who abuse pot continuously, and it stunts brain growth. The brain continues to grow until age 25 years old. If you do legalize this substance, you need to consider the age limit. What this amendment does, and what we've heard in previous testimony, and what I think I heard the author in previous committee stops, it may be willing to work on this. Maybe he's willing, the author is willing to accept this amendment, but it changes the use of in the bill from age 21 to age 25. If we had more time, I might suggest that there's an advertising section in the bill that prohibits the depiction of people using it under 21 as well. I might suggest that section be limited to 35. There is strong evidence that it appears that this is a concern for young people. We've heard stories. You may have a family member, I do, that has had a tragic, that's had a tragic addiction starting with marijuana. I don't think anybody denies that. That it is a problem. The author, I hope, would find this amendment agreeable, and I would ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kosnick, 21 is the age that we have decided on as a society for things like liquor, which, as I mentioned earlier, has at least the same amount of impact on people as cannabis, if not more so. I'd ask for a no vote on the 832.
Thank you. And will the CLA please take the roll?
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Hewitt, no. Lead Nash.
Aye.
Nash, aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Berg.
No.
Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Newton, no. Madam Chair, that's 5 ayes and 8 nays.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. The 832 has not been adopted. Since we have made the first pass through the amendments, what I would like to do now is, because we may have to come back this evening, If there is anyone who has traveled a large distance to testify today and would not be able to come back this evening, well, I would ask that you please come forward.
Thank you, Committee Chair. Thank you, Committee.
And if you would please state your name for the record, and I'm going to ask you to please limit your testimony to 2 minutes, if at all possible. Thank you.
I'll try. My name is Ted Galati. I'm the owner-operator of Willow's Keep Farm in Zumbrota. I also, through that operation, we started Hemp Maze Minnesota in 2018. We're, as far as I know, the only hemp maze in the country, and we bring people out to our farm to let them experience the plant. So we have been educating and informing the public since 2018 through that operation. We also added a cannabis golf course this past summer, so now you can play golf through the cannabis fields. We also run Friday at the Farm, which is Minnesota's, southern Minnesota's biggest haunted attraction, and we have more people come to the farm. In 2019, we opened a farm store. We are open 7 days a week, and we again educate and inform the public about cannabis, and we sell our cannabis products through that store. We also own the Old Pine Theater in Pine Island, Minnesota. That is a performing arts theater where we have music venue. We have music and we have performing arts. We also sell our products there. We also have now purchased land in Wisconsin, and we will be expanding into Hager City, and that will be Sacred Mounds Farm, where we will also educate and inform the public about this plant. So I retired from the U of M in 2019. I have a degree in health wellness from St. Olaf College. I have a master's in education from Grand Valley State University. I worked in education my whole career, and then in 2019 decided to retire and focus fully on my businesses with my wife. I am now a cannabis educator. That's what I do. I educate people on cannabis. So your government, your doctors, and researchers have lied to you. They have. In 1971, President Nixon signed the Controlled Substance Bill, and he classified cannabis as a narcotic. Even the cannabis that I grow, fiber cannabis, you don't smoke rope, you smoke dope. You've probably heard that. So that cannabis is low THC, won't get anyone high. But the truth is, cannabis is not a narcotic. It's not a stimulant. It's not a depressant. It more closely resembles a hormone. Vitamin D is a hormone. You can generate vitamin D by standing out in the sun, or you can consume vitamin D. Cannabis is the same thing. It's interesting. The body produces cannabinoids. We've had a relationship with this plant for 10,000 years. And we can consume it as well. Now, that to me would call it a health issue. We aren't allowing access to this plant. And to be honest with you, you're probably all deficient in cannabinoids. And that's a true statement. You have a cannabinoid 1 receptor in your brain and in your spinal column. That is the one that is primarily the one that gets you high. You have cannabinoid 2 receptors throughout your immune system, through your nervous system, in your internal organs. And again, it's a health issue. We should all be consuming cannabis to some extent.
Thank you. I'll ask you to wrap up, please.
Okay. So the reason I came here, real quick. So the Old Pine Theater is located in the municipality, Pine Island, Minnesota. And in December, I had to stand forth in front of City Council and tell them that my business needs to operate as it has been and should. They wanted to do a moratorium, not allowing any THC, but products for sale in the city until I presented them over 50 pages of information. I said, hey, the state's going to be deciding this fairly closely, and unless you put a sunset clause on this moratorium, you may regret what you decide on today. They have decided to table that until you all decide, the legislators decide on where this is moving. But the point being is, I don't know if all of you are probably not educated on it, but a full-spectrum product, there's isolate, there's full-spectrum, there's broad-spectrum. A full-spectrum product is still going to have 0.3% or less THC by dry weight, and that's federally legal. Local governance, if they choose to say, no, there's a moratorium on THC, pretty much my business can no longer occur at the Old Pine Theater. Now, we only really sell out of the Old Pine Theater during our events, but it also brings up the whole events situation where if I'm going to sell my products at the Old Pine Theater, and people are going to consume a CBD gummy, a full-spectrum CBD gummy, or it's a low-potency THC product that's still hemp-derived, I probably have a problem there because I'm in a facility. So anyway, that's why I came forth today. I've got a whole slew of other things in this bill that need to be attended to, but I thank you very much for listening, and I appreciate the work you're doing on this.
And I will thank you for the email that you sent me yesterday, and that has been forwarded to, or will be forwarded to, Representative Stevenson. Thank you so much for your time. Next, I would like to ask Jillian Rosenquist to come forward, please.
Thank you so much. I do have a council meeting this evening, so I appreciate the accommodation. Chair Clevorn, members of the committee, hi, I'm Jillian Rosenquist. I'm a Golden Valley City Council member. That's why I represent Freiburg's taking a picture of me. And and a member of the League of Minnesota Cities THC Working Group, and I'm here on their behalf. When the new THC law went into effect last year, cities were given little or no guidance about how to incorporate these products into their existing regulatory frameworks and enforcement mechanisms. Golden Valley had recently undertaken an extensive review and revision of tobacco ordinances with the extensive community engagement, stakeholder input, and planning commission review. We therefore look to our existing tobacco and liquor licensing and ordinances as a model for our approach to THC products and retailers. These include common sense parameters like age verification, storage behind counters, inaccessible to customers, and restrictions on samples and selling from vending machines. Our two retailers were involved in our discussions and are very pleased with the approach. Both were granted licenses. Licensing is an excellent enforcement and educational tool for cities. We know where the products are being sold, can ensure compliance with state law, and can resolve problems quickly rather than waiting for the state to intervene. Finally, the state should allow local governments to reasonably limit the number of retailers within our jurisdiction. Under the current bill, there's no safeguard to prevent the board from issuing far more licenses than reasonable for a given city. Minnesota will be surrounded by states with legal cannabis. Many of our bordering cities, regardless of size or enforcement capacity, are concerned they'll be targeted by retailers to establish dispensary. We want to make sure our communities are set up for success with these new products and ensure they have the capacity to manage them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Rosenquist. I appreciate your testimony. Next, we will have Rayanna Burkholz.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rayanna Buckles, and I'm the Legislative and Coalitions Director for Americans for Prosperity here in Minnesota. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Cannabis Legalization Bill and reiterate the importance of its passage. There are many aspects that we are pleased to see, such as the flexibility with the allocation of generated revenue as written in Article 9, which we see as a gold standard for other states looking to legalize cannabis. While we are overall generally supportive of the legislation, we also see areas for improvement, such as reducing over-regulation. Businesses and individuals should be able to enter the market without burdensome mandates that increase costs and inhibit growth and innovation. An example of this is adjusting the use of type in Section 6 of Article 1. If misinterpreted, this could require an overhandling of individual products rather than categories. I also urge legislators to carefully consider what prior convictions might pose a specific risk for licensing and employment purposes, rather than barring everyone with a prior criminal record from being involved. Instead, prohibit certain types, such as prior controlled substance offenses, that might position someone to divert products from the legal to the illicit market. And to ensure market competitiveness and stability, we propose that the Office of Cannabis Management be required to submit an annual market analysis to determine whether it is fulfilling the prescribed requirements, in addition to holding public hearings to hear from consumers, market stakeholders, and potential license applicants when determining license needs. We view this element as vital to the success of legalization and ensuring that this new government entity is acting in a fair and transparent manner. It is key that safeguards and structures are imposed, but it is equally important that these mandates do not go above and beyond for a functioning industry, especially in its infancy. This bill should be positioned to legalize the market with appropriate safeguards in place, and as we learn what works and what doesn't, then revisit the need for additional structures. We thank Representative Stevenson for authoring this legislation and taking into consideration the various stakeholders and individuals impacted. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we will have John Barté, and then that will he will be followed by Carl Markinovich. If you would please come forward, Mr. Barté. I do not see Mr. Barté coming forward. If we could please have Mr. Markinovich. And then he will be followed by Jake Hanman. And I'll ask you to please keep your testimony as close to 2 minutes as possible. Thank you.
Will do. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, hi. Hello, committee members. My name is Kyle Marinkovich. I am the founder and CEO of Northern Diversified Solutions, NDS, located in Burnsville. And I'd like to say hello to Representative Berg. We process hemp biomass into cannabinoid ingredients for use in a wide variety of applications. I also serve on the board of directors of the Minnesota Hemp Growers Co-op and am a member of the MM Is Ready Coalition. I founded NDS in 2019 after spending 14 years at Cargill, leading commercial activity in a variety of specialty ingredients and supply chains across the globe. I had the privilege of working with amazing people from the farm gate to the consumer and gained extensive commercial, technical, and management experience. I founded NDS to bring this experience to the cannabis space because I believe in the positive impact cannabis can have for health and wellness, improving consumers' lives, and creating economic opportunities for communities across Minnesota. Today, we serve customers from the upper Midwest to the East Coast, utilizing Minnesota-grown hemp. We have invested over $1 million in building processing capabilities utilizing GMP, which is good manufacturing practice, and hiring a local team of 5 full-time and 5 part-time, highly skilled employees. A key factor for our success was a welcoming partnership of the City of Burnsville. From the start, we have been engaged with the city, whether it was the Burnsville Fire Department assisting in the design of our operations to ensure the safety of our employees or when working with the Business Development Office and Chamber for Outreach to keep our investments local. A great example of this was being featured in a video for Manufacturing Month in the City of Burnsville in October that showcased companies producing innovative products in the city. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, and we'd like to voice our support for HF 100.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I appreciate it. Next, we will have Jake Hangman, followed by Rich Neumeister.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jake Hanneman. I am the owner of Bootlegger Brewing Kombucha, which is a non-alcoholic beverage, Minnesota Pure, which is the producer of hemp topical products, and Auroch Canning, which is a co-packer, co-producer in Apple Valley, Minnesota, working with non-alcoholic and hemp products distributed throughout the Midwest and across the United States. Today, I'm addressing concerns with the removal of the distinction between legal hemp and cannabis-derived cannabinoids for taxation and production, as well as the edible cannabinoid product handler endorsement and the manufacturer operation requirements. In summary, those with hemp and cannabis not separated, you lose some tax shelter from the 280E taxation, as well as with the edible cannabinoid product handler endorsement, that requires the that hemp or cannabinoids and non-cannabinoids be produced at different facilities on a different premises on different equipment, which in essence, if that is not addressed in this bill, will have significant impacts on Minnesota businesses like my own, like Northern Diversified, loss in businesses that are currently supporting hemp production, loss of Minnesota's internal and exported manufactured hemp products, loss of Minnesota tax dollars, much, if not all, of in-state manufacturing of hemp-derived cannabinoid products would need to stop immediately under this current wording. including my own. I would have to decide which business gets shut down. And a lot of the processing of hemp and cannabinoid products is done on very specialized equipment, specialized facilities, employees, regulations, which don't get set up overnight. That's a years long and hundreds of thousands of dollars, even for the smallest of operations. Which right now the edible cannabinoid product handler endorsement is excluded from, or it includes all of the supply chain except for the end product sales, package sales. So with that going through as is, production would stop in state. There are out-of-state manufacturers that would be glad to step in and provide those products for Minnesota, which I don't think we want, including, you know, customers that we have currently would have to go to different co-packers and processors outside of the state. Additionally,
I'll ask Peter to
wrap up
your testimony.
I would just ask that we bring consideration for production of non-cannabinoid and cannabinoids in the same facility, utilizing processes and procedures that we already have in place to handle, you know, harmful and deadly pathogens and allergens. I think manufacturing is well equipped to be able to separate and handle those types of separations.
Thank you. And I'll make sure that your email gets forwarded to the chair so he has a fuller picture.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your testimony. I appreciate it. Mr. Neumeister, and then we will move on to Jay Henthorne.
Madam Chair, or
please proceed.
Good morning,
Mr.
Madam Chair. My name is Rich Neumeister. I'm just going to get right to the point, to the jurisdictional aspects of your committee on two items. One is the organization of the OCM, as Office of Cannabis Management, I believe, and then conflict of interest issues. These are issues that are not new to Minnesota. Across the state, the cannabis regulatory regimes, schemes, have created a lot of discussion. My point is to highlight some weaknesses and then some strengths. Let's just go right to it. Section 2, lines 14.8 through 15.22 of the third engrossment. You look at that panoply of all those functions that the OCM is going to be doing. Then you add the other one, which is going to right next to the lines off the medical cannabis. And then you scratch your head and you say, how can one person, one director, do all that? And I, as someone who's been involved in government and has looked at other regimes, cannabis regime schemes, that is questionable. So what I would like to suggest to you, if you're going to stick with the director, if you look at those four lines that says the director, there are no qualifications, there's no criteria, there's no things where people know who to select to do the things. Now, three states, Washington, Vermont, and New York, has a cannabis board. And there is shared responsibility. There is also where in Washington, which is a combination of a cannabis liquor board, and in New York, they hire the director. So that is some issues. Now, another issue is conflict of interest. Don't kid yourselves. In the business and the cannabis regimes, schemes across the country, there are plenty of allegations. You put up corruption, cannabis, employees buying land, whatever. We have a weak conflict of interest. Now, if you take a look on lines 1611 and 1613 and 1626 and 1628 of the third engrossment, you'll see the term financial interest. I looked in the law, it says, oh, where's the definition? The only definition I saw was in the rules. It's being repealed under the medical cannabis on 23R. I would like to see statutory conflict of interest schemes in the law. New York has a great one. It's Marijuana Regulatory Act, Article 2, Section 18. I would suggest to that as an example. New Jersey has some of those kinds of things. So, Madam Chair, what I've shared with you are some things to make OCM, at least for Minnesotans, a little bit, to make sure it's ethical, to make sure it's accountable, and we have a clean, ethical, and fair cannabis biz. And I think we got a little bit of ways to go, particularly with the organizational, who's the director, how selected, to do a big business, and then two, to make sure we have some good teeth with conflict of interest. And I'll just throw another one in that other states have adopted, an internal auditor.
Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, those are my comments. And as always, I'm always happy to work, Madam Chair, with the author and other folks who are interested. I'm always full of info to share with people.
I appreciate your expertise in this area. So thank you very much for coming to the committee. Chief Henthorn, if you would please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Jay Henthorn. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jay Henthorn. I'm the Director of Public Safety and Chief of Police for the City of Richfield. I'm here today to testify with concerns on House File 100 that is currently drafted on behalf of the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association. Our association collectively represents over 300 police chiefs throughout the state of Minnesota. As the legislature debates the legalization of adult use cannabis, it is important to remember, as talked about today, that local governments and local law enforcement will be on the other end of the law that you ultimately pass. It is important to prioritize an extremely tight legal market and regulatory structure to not exacerbate an existing illicit market. Unfortunately, the bill does not do that for a variety of reasons. Reason number one, local governments should have licensing authority as they do with other retail operations like liquor licenses. Your local law enforcement conducts expensive compliance reviews for those entities, and to shift that responsibility to a new regulatory structure will thwart local control and fail to utilize existing infrastructure that would help the state promote our public safety. The significant amount of cannabis an individual can legally possess and grow at their home is also a concern. This will not reinforce a tight regulatory structure through consistent retail outlets. This will lead to more work for local law enforcement and only further an already flourishing market that we've heard from our peers in other states that have legalized adult use cannabis. Our association, along with the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, submitted a broader letter to the committee, including traffic safety concerns based on what we have seen happen in other states that have legalized adult use cannabis. We urge the legislature to make these changes through the committee process and help our local governments and agencies provide the layer of regulatory certainty that our community needs and expects. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Chief. Lead Nash, I have a question for you, please. So we have three more testifiers, and we have the A20 and the A21. We have the opportunity to listen to these testifiers and be finished with the room by 10:20. Or we have the choice to come back this evening.
Madam Chair, we will withdraw the two amendments from consideration and ask that the testifiers keep it brief, and then we'll keep going.
All right. We will be out of this room by 10:20. Please, may we have Mr. Buchholz? Is that how you pronounce your last name? I apologize. Bujo, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All due respect, Madam Chair, my comments would be probably about 5 minutes. I've got prepared comments that I would like to read.
We have limited testimony to 2 minutes. I'll give you some latitude.
Within my rights to be able to say to this committee what I came here to say.
I appreciate that, and I will do my best to respect that.
Before I begin with my comments, I'm a little surprised that at least the amendment about local control was not accepted by this committee, with all due respect to Representative Stevenson. Now, I agree with medical cannabis. I agree that criminal code changes to limit possession as a petty misdemeanor or decriminalizing that is appropriate. However, this is cart before the horse politics. Marijuana is still classified, as we all know, as a level one substance at the federal level, which presents its own challenges in the economics of operating any business like this. My personal opinion is recreational cannabis is a mistake for the Minnesota citizens, and it follows in the irresponsibility and deception orchestrated by Representative Ryan Winkler last legislative session. Sure, pot's being used illegally today. Many societal ills are present because of it. But that doesn't mean we have to put more people at risk on our roadways. It doesn't mean we have to put children at risk in homes and create more problems for society. A study was recently done just last year released called The Pediatric Edible Cannabis Exposure and Acute Toxicity. Key study results, 7,043 exposures reported between 2017 and 2021. In 2017, there were 207 reported cases, and in 2021, there were 3,054 cases, an increase of 1,375%. Most exposures, almost 98%, occurred in a residential setting. 70% of cases followed to a known outcome were reported to have central nervous system depression. Of all reported cases, just over 22% of patients were admitted to the hospital, and there was a significant increase in both ICU and non-ICU admissions.
I'm being informed that we need to leave the room quickly, so I'm going to ask you to please wrap up.
I will do my best.
No, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you off.
Well, can I state one thing about the economic aspects of this?
Quickly, please.
Take a look at New York, California. They have taxes, lots of them. And if we think as a legislative body that we're going to get rid of the illegal operation of marijuana people, it is not even reality. All of this stuff, they are challenging in these states that have already recreationalized this, and you will experience this in Minnesota. So the revenue that the governor believes he's going to get is not even there.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Chair Stevenson, if you'll please come back.
And I really wish that you would look at people, children that you're going to be putting at risk with this bill.
Thank you very much. I'm going to, if the league and the counties are all right, I will just go ahead and renew my motion to re-refer this bill to agriculture. We will continue to work with the league and the county as this bill moves forward. Lead Nash, any final comments quickly?
Madam Chair, what time do we have this until?
We have 2 minutes.
Could we give each of those 1 minute to testify?
I saw a head nod that they would be all right with. Is that correct?
But from my perspective, I'd like to hear their overview of local control.
1 minute, please, please. We have to get out of this room.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt Hilgart. I represent the Association of Minnesota Counties. The association represents all of Minnesota's 87 counties. There's been several city testifiers, but counties are equally interested and working on this bill. Three issues that I want to bring up that have been loosely talked about. The issue of local control. Our members are strongly interested in exhibiting all our local control mechanisms. That is around licensing, zoning, land use, and inspection. I appreciate Chair Stevenson's willingness to talk about these issues and potentially create some framework for a minimum amount of licenses, which would definitely be our secondary request if we aren't successful in an opt-out. The second is a strong state regulatory framework, and third is an acknowledgement that these issues, that legalization will have operational costs to local governments. There are cost provisions that are identified in the bill for state government, but not local governments, and we would ask to be part of that in the future. And the last thing, we appreciate the SUD grants. We'd like to
Thank
see a stronger
you.
Role for local public health agencies.
Please
Thank
state
you.
Your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Alex Hassel with the League of Minnesota Cities, and I'll also be brief. Councilmember Rosenquist really covered our position very well, but I just want to note that I appreciate the conversation on the local opt-out and the events pieces. The league does support the local authority to opt out. As we know, cities are going to embrace these products at varying degrees, but at a minimum, we would like to see the ability to limit the number of licenses in a given jurisdiction. You heard Councilmember Rosenquist talk about the local licensing. That is going to be a critical piece for us, and we really appreciate Chair Stevenson's willingness to work with us on these pieces and know that those conversations are going to continue as the bill moves forward. So thank you for the moment.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your cooperation. And with that, Chair Stevenson, I recommend that House File 100 be re-referred to the Agriculture Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd ask for a yes vote.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Thank you. And with that, House File 100 is recommended to be re-referred to the Agriculture Committee. With that, members, we are adjourned.